။ဩဇိတတိနေယံဘယံတုတံတဏ္ဍာကိတုရှိယတိ။ဩဇိတနိခရုရမုကြီးမရဂျိရမုကြီးမရတောဘဗဒင်သာသမင်းနောနဘဒုနောရှုသောဘဂျိမိကွန်းချောက်ကွန်းတို့ညီလာဆိုရံဒေရစေနဩဇဂျိလာမရှင်ဓမ္မနောသောသာအကြီးဂုံဘဇကလကတိဩဇိတကရဘမဒွန်တိရောက်တင်ရနှောင်းယူပါရောဩဇတိကပ်တိဒါဒီဒီကရဘတိတော်မှာလူထရမညီကဆွဆွရရှင်နဩဇိဒီကပ်စတဲ့ဂျီလူစတ်တဲ့ဩဇတိတော်တင်တန်းချောက်ကွန်လူတို့ညီပါဒီဆောင်ယူရရင်သူဩဇဂျီလူတော်ပဆန်ဆန်တင်ချောက်ကွန်လူတို့ညီပါဆန်ဆန်ချီလာရောက်ယူပါဒီဒီရင်သူဒီဂျေလူးနမ်တပန်ဒီဂျေလူးကိုလီတဲ့တဲလာဒါဆောင်ကြထုတ်ချွတ်တင်ပြီခရစံဆိုယူရနော်ရဲ့သိကျူလီကျူလာဆောင်ကြစေကျစ်ဒီဂျေလူးထုတ်တင်ပြီကကောင်းသောကငါကလူတဲ့ရောပါဒီမာသူကကပ်လာလူတဲ့ရောပါဒီတန်းလာသိကျူလီကျူလာဆောင်ကြမတင်ပြီယောလူရောပါတော်ဂျေတော့မှာရှိပြတဲ့နေအလူထာမို့ဂျလူကလူလောင်းနဲ့ညီကဂျဝမှာကြည့်ပြီးကပ်တယ်လားဂျလူကလူထာမို့ဒီတန်နီဒါတိတိကျူနီကျူလာဆောင်ကြတဲ့ဒီတဲ့ကိုချပါကြည့်တဲ့ရောင်းကိုဆယ်ပ
ါ Now when one is following those practices in order to attain the illusory body one needs to know that one needs to differentiate what is called the gross and the subtle body and when these two become separate then one newly attains the illusory body remember this quotation that we had in the morning where Kedro Rinpoche was praising Lama Tsongkhapa for having manifested the supreme attainment the supreme siddhi by attaining the illusory body at the state of the bardo. Now, remember also that debate that arose in the beginning, whether it was possible to reach enlightenment in one life and one body. And we said in this occasion that although you can do it in one life, you cannot do it in two bodies. If you reach the point of illusory body, if you reach the point of illusory body, it is said that you will attain the state of enlightenment on that body. Right, but this indicates that you have actually generated and you have separated the gross from the subtle body. And once you have attained the subtle body, then this is it is on the basis of that subtle body. When that happens, you will attain also the state of enlightenment.
ဒါတင်ရရင်ပဲရင်သူဂျလူဂျလူကလူတည်လာဂျင်မစုမရံကဘသမောဂျင်ဂျမတုံကြီးကမတစုနောင်လို့လားဂျလူကလူတည်ဂျင်စံပါတည်တင်ကြီးဇန်တော်စံပါလားတည်တင်ကြီးတွဲတော်စံပါဆောင်လားတည်တင်ကြီးဂျင်ချန်တော်တော်မှာဒုဆောင်လားတည်တင်ကြီးတင်ရရင်စကီဘဆိုရပါတင်ရရင်ပဲရင်သူဟောဂျင်ဘန်ကောဘပန်တို့ကဂျလူညီတည်ရပါတည်ဟောဂျူတာတင်ရကဂျူတာဘန်ကောဘပန်တို့ကဒီဂျလူညီဝကလူတဲ့ဒီဒွေမူရကျတဲ့ငကြီးရောင်းကျကိုညာငယ်နေတာသူနာဟောဂျူတက်ခလုံးဆိုရှူအောင်ရင်ဒီဂျူကရစကွန်ဂျောင်းမကျကွန်ဓမ္မဒီဂျူရောင်းနေတဲ့တနည်းဘတ်တော်ကလူညီကဆူဆူတက်တဲ့ငဆောင်ရကျကလူကြီးကြီးကယူပါလိဟောတတ်ဒီဂျူကောင်းတက်ကြောင့်တင်တော့ကဂျူဒွေမူနောင်းတဲ့ငကြီးကဂျူကွန်ဖွန်ရောပတ်တေတောင်းဝတ်တဲ့ဂျူဝတ်တဲ့ညီမာဆူဆူထတ်တင်ကြီးကလူကြီးကြီးကယူပါလိရမ်ပိရမ်ပိတင်းညီညမ်းတန်သူဝတ်တဲ့တင်းဒီတင်တော့ကမရောင်ကဘလားဒူယီမောင်မို့ကြီးနောင်းကြည့်ပါယနန္တဒီဂျူလူကကရင်တင်ကြီးတေလာထားရအောင်ရှိနေဒီကြကံဘာပေးရတဲ့ဩဒါဆောင်ကြီးချင်းတင်ပတ်တရဇေယကရောနံသက်တော်လူကြီးနာတင်တဲ့ရောင်းတင်
Now the illusory body is actually a very subtle type of body that cannot be perceived by ordinary beings in that state. But it is said that the illusory body can actually manifest and take many various forms. Forms such as a bridge or a boat or a stone or a tree and so forth. Now we have an example. There are many cases of biographies of highly realized beings in the Arya land of India, where this point is illustrated, and the biography of Aryanagarjuna is an example of that. It is said that Aryanagarjuna has, of course, attained the illusory body, is manifesting or is abiding in the form of a stone. Remember the story that was mentioned in one of the previous sessions of how the throat of Aryanagarjuna was slit and how the head and the body were separated and they abide as two separate pieces, and how gradually they come closer, and that they will be, the story says that there will be a time where they will be connected again. So although you might have the aspect of a stone, this can actually be a manifestation or an appearance of the illusory body.
ဟိုကြီးတော့ပြန်ကြည့်တာပြန်ညစီတာပြန်ဆုံးပါရင်နာညစီရနာဆုံးအောင်ဒီပါရင်နာဒါကောင်းတက်ကြောင့်ဟိုကြီးဒါတင်ရရင်ခွန်ဒီဟိုကြီးဒါချင်ကုတ်ကိုစိုးဟိုကြီးတင်ပါလာပြန်ညစီရမင်းတကရနာရမင်းတကရရင်ခွန်ကိုကြီးတင်ပါလာယူစိုးဒီဒါညစီရှင်ကြီးရမင်းတကရေးဒီဒီရရင်ခွန်တင်ရရင်ခွန်ဒီဂျလူရန်ဆောင်ကြပါလိမ့်ဂျလူရန်တဒီရရင်ခွန်ဒီဂျလူရန်ကြောင့်ဂျလူရမှာရင်စီတင်တော့ကိုကြီ
Rinpoche was actually here quoting another case that was set forward by one of the previous incarnations of Lhotse Rinpoche, and where it was said that, for example, if we examine the inestimable mansion of the deity, and let's say that the main deity is Yamantaka, we might have the main deity in the center of that mandala, which will be in the aspect of the deity, but the mandala itself is said to be a manifestation of the illusory body. Yet the point is made that although it is a manifestation of the illusory body, it is not the actual being who has manifested the illusory body.
Pamtemba.
Also in Tibet, in the area of Amdo, there is this great practitioner called Pamtemba. There were actually two of them, the elder and the younger. And one of them was in the area of Amdo, close to the location called
Machi
Now, this particular place is actually close to the Yellow River, just at the border between Hamdo and China. And this meditator, Pam Tempo, was said to be meditating in this cave. And he remained in that cave for a long time. It seemed that the door of the cave was closed. And when that was open at a later time, what they could see inside was a stone that had the form or the aspect of the body of the Buddha. And it was said that actually Pam Tempo himself was someone who was a practitioner of the system of Hiruka and someone who has attained the illusory body. And again, all that we can see now, perceive from him, is this piece of stone.
Only the Beirgu and the Beirgu ori yoni shoga da di sajadana pamten bi dabuk se ji gan ja se yo ba wa da di na yin du pamten ba de kwe che chong ni yo na ji ge dan dan da go ju lu go ni dem ja go kwe ni ni de ba bu pamten ba kwe che chong a de yin song ji ji yo
so since the storm so that true brother Elder Nyanga, who happened to enter this special place in Nepal, Prabhupada. So the story here, the story is the elder one, younger brother. No, younger brother. So, yogi of perhaps called Hiruka. So, so what happens? Manifest into stone. Just, father, mother, you know, in Indian like that, in the manifest into stone statue like that. No. So the joke, good number one.
No.
In the Charasambara, father, mother, but it's really the pumping body, the younger one, the yogi. So this is the story of the illusory body after having achieved a manifest like this.
ဟောဒီတဲ့ဒီမချင်းရံတင်တဲ့ချင်းတွေတပုချင်းနဲ့ယောဂီယွာရီယွာရီတဲ့ချင်းငမယနာဟောဒီတသောမှာစင်တာဖူးတင်တဲ့ချင်းဒါရှမကြီးကရောဒီမေကမေတောက်ချွာနဲ့တင်တဲ့ချင်းကလိုကြီးကယွာရီဟောဒါကောင်းကောင်းတင်ပတော်မိတော့သူကွန်ချီချင်းညမှာသူဟောဒါဒီဂျီဂျီလူကိုကရီစင်နဲ့စချင်းပုံအဲ့တင်တဲ့ဆောင်ပုံနဲ့သူနဲ့တင်တဲ့ကလိုကြီးယွာရီ
Also, it is said that later on, of course, these particular formations were covered with gold. Later on, it was said that a fire was manifesting in this place. They are considered to be special places, and nevertheless, now they are under the hands of the Chinese, and one is not allowed to visit the location these days.
So they met water reservoir there in front of that, so that people cannot go to see the statue. It's a block. But Tugin Chudinima, these two great lamas, they highly admired, respected the Pamgyenpa, you know, by having achieved the body manifest into the stone, the statue, Hiruka.
Right, so we stop here for the presentation and we have time for questions and answers. Okay, we take
questions. One is, if a metaphoric clear light is, it seems like it has to be a non-conceptual mind because it's clear light. Mm-hmm. How can it be realizing emptiness by means of a mental image, which seems to be an attribute of conception? The other question deals with what we talked about.
Can we do one at a time? Okay. All right. So the first question is about metaphoric clear light. If it is clear light, It should be non-conceptual mind, but we just mentioned that the metaphorically allied comprehends emptiness through generic image. So how can a clear light going through generic image? Rinpoche langarun su peki usili yorwa. Usili yina ko tokpe loma rez. Yina ya peki usili koran donchi ki gyune tomba nis toye yorez. Di kandizyon sigres.
Ya gari jenna.
Di usili yina donchi la ten mikova rez. Yina ya peki usili koran tomba nis donchi ki gyune toye yorez. Di kandizyon sigres.
Ori di yongurwa. Ozer zeje de gejerdan na ozer zeje de la yer ozer na yerjen ozer ni chen gu yor yer ozer na tomba ni ton chi ba yin din tomba ni yer de je be yerjen ozer de tomba ni to ba lu la ja lu de la tang ni ton ji zer ji to ba lu da ngo san de to ba lu ni ba yin du je lu thau ka la ka gu san ya tar du pe ozer gu yerjen gu ozer de ton ji zer ji to ba man na ngo san de to ba yin na thong lam to ba da sa dong bu to ba ti nyang gu ri de
Now, when we talk about clear light, we make the distinction between the object clear light and the subject clear light. Object clear light is emptiness itself. Subject clear light is the mind that comprehends emptiness. Now, this mind comprehending emptiness can do it in two ways. Either it can do it through relying on the generic image, or it can do it perceptually, directly. If it was the case that metaphoric clear light that occurs at the end of mental isolation was capable of comprehending emptiness directly, then one would have to have reached the path of seeing and attained the first ground. But this is not the case with metaphoric clear light.
我觉得你能用个就我这了也是我这的也是我这你有把别的能用小姐进步自己小姐那样也是小姐进步的也是小姐进步你是也是小姐进步自己的也当东北你当几百级也是小姐进步自己的也是小姐进步东北你到不也是进步一起去了也是小姐进步三样个月了
Now, a similar thing can apply to the case of Mahamudra. When we talk about Mahamudra, we have the object Mahamudra, which is emptiness, and the subject Mahamudra, which is the mind comprehending that emptiness. It's the primordial awareness comprehending that emptiness. And again, Mahamudra can be defined in terms of sutra and in terms of tantra. Alright, so the question was that you, in the case, at the time of the metaphoric clear light, the 80 essential conceptions have all subsided. So if those things have subsided, it seems that the metaphoric clear light would be a non-conceptual mind. So if it is non-conceptual, why does it need to go through the generic image?
How could it have a generic image?
Rinpoche
says, if it is a mind that comprehends emptiness, it can only do it through two ways. Either through the generic image, or it can do it perceptually. If it's doing it perceptually, it means that one has already reached the path of seeing the first ground. And here, you have not in the case of metaphoric clear light, you just have not reached the first ground of the path of seeing yet.
Dāndā kāṅgāsāṅvā te rāṅgāsāṅgā tāpā mē sāyā te śubhāsīyā jīyā rī. Te kārī rī sāna yāngjī mārā gulēnī kī yīk chāgā yīn sāṅdhāna mandrāvā yuvā yīmbā pē te nāṅgāsāṅgā kāsāṅsāṅgā śūvā nāṅgā rī. Jīgā thānglāp nyāṅgāsāṅgā yī tūjā nā wā jīgā tā rī gīnāṅgā tāñjāṅgā thānglāp nyāṅgāsāṅgā tī jīnā wā tā gīnāṅgā dhūmbā yu mē sā jītī.
Now, going into that, back into that point, your argument that the 80 natural essential conceptions have dissolved and therefore it would need to be a perceptual mind. Roshi says, let me remind you that debate we have mentioned. What happens for a Gelong who is in Arya equipoise? Do the vows exist? Since the vows are a conventional truth, do the vows exist for that Gelong at the time of equipoise on emptiness or not? And we say that the different texts actually give us different positions. So, for example, the manuals that you have from Lo Tse Ling would say that the mind, in order to have them, the mind that is holding the vows needs to be manifest. So if we go according to that presentation, then it seems that the Gelong does not have the vows during that time. But if we go according to the explanation of Gomang, it says that you don't need to have a manifest mind, just having the imprints is enough to guarantee that the vows are existent. So if we were to follow a similar pattern, just because you do not have manifest those 80 conceptions manifest, it doesn't mean that they're not there at all, because you could have them on the level of the imprint, and if the imprints of those are manifest, then you still have conception. So the again, we can analyze this point in accordance with this previous point.
Is going back to what we talked about the other day about verbal isolation. Rinpoche explained very clearly about the three stages of the mantra drop at the heart, then the light drop at the forehead, which was actual verbal recitation, and then the substance drop at the lower orifice. Some books in the West seem to confuse that, so somehow it seems beneficial if Rinpoche could explain a little bit about the nature of those drops, how they're, what's within them, what's visualized within them, if something is, and how one meditates on those three yogas, those three pranayamas.
Right, so the question is taking us back to the level of verbal isolation. It has been explained that we have meditation on three different places of the body that include meditation on three drops. We have the mantra drop at the heart, we have the substance drop at the lower opening, and also we have the light drop at the upper opening of the central channel. Since the meditation on them or their nature is not clearly explained in the bibliography that we have so far in English, would Rinpoche please describe the nature of these drops, if there is anything inside the drops, something visualized with these drops, and exactly how we are doing the meditation on those? Rinpoche, ngawanki kavlat ngaronso gomtang mindawa rimba mindawa sumiores. Nika ngaktik tene di ola da ngaronso zetik te yane tena la otik mindawa gom rimta mindawa sumioresa. Tenso nane ngak di otik di zowo da ngune yinba, shenda di yan la yinba. Yina yan Rinpoche la da ngaronso inji thola di thola yang teb ni sum sinje yores. Tenso nane da te tola tes chi yores, yina yang konsu sel mindusa. Yang paru paru konsu yang gay yores. Tetangga Rinpoche la di tigle rire la, tigle rire ki ngowo ta, tigle rire nang la kare kare yoba ta, hige dabuchi yoba, kantes kantes sel ta gores. Tene da Rinpa Mindra wo sum ki gomtaan di tizrimbo chi la te tola te sunga nangas.
Nangali. Ori da di ngawenga kapsa da sakturu se ji de la da samyo sumariwa. Sakturu sambo di gomli gomtaan di waji da tili samse na tenga nazi samda gomsi. Nazi samse ji di long awad da am. Tavami yarni ni de la wajigida oji tuli gomba di tenga na tisi ya ti saksur di ti oda di nyankar ngoji tuli gomba si oda ta awad di mara nyanki tanguruka vi de la oda ngoji tuli sadu na wajigida pena ngo karise go Oma Aungo da Yiki Sambu Nani Yigida Kontar Jan Ngokko Yiki Yigindu Chik Gomya O Yigida Di Nyanki Nasi Karisi Ngokti Gomba Si Jati O Yigida Sambu Nasi Ditik Se Jati Sani Ga Nika Magi Awad Di Marni De La O Di Ji Tukli Si O Yigida Kham Karma Thundi Yodi Ngi Ga Dika De La O Yigida Karisiko, kam karma ka thili inda ji, da gomya inda ji, da yinba yindu di, songwa na si zithi gu se yang guiwariwa. Oji da, songwa na si zithi gomya di, di ji thili la mi ba yang guiwari. Oji da, yigi, tenka na si gomya di, oji thili, oka rangjian jengu, shanta chava, nonsum chamo dang. Jiga da, la kongya na di, tu ni se me ba ichi dang, rongka samyin ngogo yir me ba. Ogan number shardi wanda wo oda nyeki nazir ngotu di da yigi ya nini mar baba yena da oji ju yong yigi ju magi karise go soni go ne deni yigi ju go ne de ya leba yena da yong tiwe nini ya leba yena da kon sar jang di tezon yuwa mari di oda dinda go yigi di nyeki nazir
ငေါ့ကြီးတကလေးစကြီးတီအော်ဒါနတင်တဲ့ကြီးရင်တင်ခုနကဘယ်လိုလဲငါကတိကလေဒါရေကအုံးမဟုံဆုံးကနောင်းနဲ့ခံလို့ရင်ပါကြီးကမိနေအဂုံးကြောက်ရယ်အော်ဒါဒီငေကနာတဲ့ငေါ့သူစကြီးတီဒါရင်ကြီးတေဆောင်ရွေးပါတော့ကရစကိုဒါသေဆောင်တော့မေတင်လေတံပိုးတံပိုးကြီးလုံးလုံးတော်ကြီးနိစမလုံးတော်ကြီးနိစမရဲ့ဂူဂူရယ်ရေက ငါကြီးဓမ္မတိယေကြီးဟောင္ကဒါတံကဓမ္မအစီအမဟောင္စံကနောင္လေဟောင္တံပုကြီးဝဒတ္တနီအုံကဒါတံကဂျိဘာစီအာကဒါတံကနိဗ္ဗာန်ဆောင်ရံကြီးပါလေတေယံတုတံပုငါကြီးဟောင္ကဒါတံကဟောင္ကဒါတံကဂျိယာတိငါကြီးကရစကိုဒံကနာစီနီ
ดงกนาติเตรณีซุนคุกุโยนะติรณีเตจังนิจิตะรัมปะจินะมัดดงอายินกุกุโยวาริยังตองปุดงดงซะกะนิติญิญกะยะนะญิญกะนิยัดดงกุกุโยวาริยังติวะยะนะติวะนิยัดญิญกะดงกุกุโยวาริเอ็มดิซุนวะนะติติกะเสจิติกะติกะเตละงอจิยิงลุจิกุบะยะนะติริดงวะยะนะยัดดงกุกุโยวาริวะ တဲ့ရင်သူဒုံဝေရေကြီးတီတာကြီးကစုံဝန်ဒီဝတ်သိုးရင်နာတံပိုးမှာကရစကိုအဝဒတိမာနိမူပတိကိုဆောင်ရုံကိုရပါလေအတာဒီအဝဒတိမာနိမူပတိရာတီတန်တာကသူဒီတိကစီဝါရီမှာတော့ဒီဆောင်ဝန်နာတိယင်းတို့ကိုပဲရနာတနည်းရဒီ ยี่ที่ห้องก็ต้องก็ตีว่าต้องก็คุยว่าต้องก็คุยว่าอย่างนั้นยังก็ต้องคุยว่าอย่างนั้นโอ้แต่ที่อันที่สิ่งกูเลยยังต้องบ่ต้องบ่นิสัยก็ยี่กี้ที่กำลังมึนสังเกตุมีจิตที่สูงสูงมันจะว่าอยู่ว่าอย่างนี้จิตที่ลองนี่เด้อต้องว่านิติ่นเดนี่สิ่งกูรู้สิจิตที่มันจะว่าอย่างนี้ที่สองยังอยู่ประมาณว่า
alright that's a long answer right
So we said that within the context of verbal isolation, we are practicing the three yogas of life force exertion. These three yogas of life force exertion, they include meditation on the light drop, which is done at the upper opening of the central channel. Then we have meditation on the mantra drop, which is placed in the center of the central channel, in the center of the chakra of the heart at the central channel. And finally, we have the substance drop, which is meditated at the very tip, at the lower opening of the central channel, at the tip of the jewel. Now, these three drops, they are made, they have slightly different nature. The first one, which is called the light drop, it is a drop which is made out of light. It is made out of very subtle wind in mind, and one has to think at that particular time that whatever deity one is meditating upon, that the mind of the deity plus one's own mind and this very subtle wind in mind are of the same nature, and they have this nature of light. This is the light, the nature of the light drop one is meditating. Now, the second one, as we say, is the drop at the heart. And the last one, which is the substance drop, it is a drop which is a mixture of the white and red elements, right? And it is meditated at the lower opening. We say that the meditation on those three drops includes an observation of the winds rising, entering, and abiding in different places, and that those three faces would have the nature of the resonance of the letters Om Hum. And we explain that the letters do not come in this particular order. So for each one of those drops, we actually have the seat of the drop, which is the actual location of the drop. But by using those different winds, we cause this drop to rise from its seat, to move to another location, to enter there, and then to abide, to come back and abide. So we will be observing we will be meditating on this movement of those drops that will come up and down. So if we were to give an example, the mantra drop is situated at the heart, but as you're doing this training, if you want to go through the phase of rising, you would have to move that drop. You either move it upwards or you move it downwards, and then you would have to return it again into the seat. Now, the similar thing would happen with the other drops. Although they have their own specific locations, during the training you would be moving them. Now, according to the tantric system that you will be practicing, you might say that you have to start by concentrating on a different point. So, for example, when we look at the system of Guhya Samaja, it is said that initially we start by concentrating at the the central channel at the lower opening, at the secret location. So if you say that you're going to try to do the practice of causing the drop to rise, there is only one place to rise. It can only rise upwards. So it would go into the navel and from there upwards. If you were to practice, for example, Heruka, your initial point of concentration is at the navel. So if you're causing a drop to rise, there are two possibilities. It can either rise up towards the heart, or it can rise, like get off its seat and rise downwards from the navel to the secret area. So the term rising is relative. If you're practicing the system of Kala Chakra, the initial place of concentration is at the upper opening. So when you say that the drop will rise, it doesn't have anywhere higher to go. It can only go lower, so from the throat to the heart and so forth. So Rinpoche was saying that these locations, this rising and these movements, actually are relative. They really depend on which system you're meditating on. Minkor reliki truchi de. So Rinpoche was saying it's similar to watching the, what do we call it, this the pistons of the train, right? Where you see that they have to go through the three phases of rising and then coming into abiding and then coming into a lower place, and then they will come up again and abide and descend. And it depends on the phase that it is. You know, if it is low, it has to come up. If it is up, it has to go down. Okay. Anything to follow from that question to complete it? Okay, there's time for questions, please.
The winds arise out, do they just pass through the other chakras? They're just passing through, is that correct? And then they go back to the place of origin? And you're bringing them through all of the chakras one by one, like first to the throat and then down to the heart? And then.
So let's say if we start with a light drop, right, and you want that, you want to cause that to arise, and you're using the winds. Are you saying that the winds will move? Is it only the winds that are moving, or are they also carrying the drop? And does it go gradually? Let's say it has to go first to the throat and then to the heart.
How far do the winds descend out of the drop? How far do they descend before they return to the drop?
Okay, so how far can you go before you return up to the initial basis, like the seat of the drop?
Staying there, and
yeah,
the winds are going up.
Oh, all right. So the assumption is that the light drop is staying up in its place, and it is only the winds that are rising, abiding, and so forth, entering, abiding. And how far can the winds travel before they return up? Is this what you're saying? Okay. Yeah. Rinpoche la di oti kompe kavla oti kora. Ne di yarne te nala de deva che long chi po koran di dane majo dus di njerves tam yang long koran dane kavla rimbe ji tambo trimba te ne nyinka te ne teva di njer dro horives yamena susu deva nansin tambo nyinka che javu chik di njer yong sigirves
ori da di otu gongi ye na juye otu ka nidi dai yigi garisan de kyuna yigi ji garis go san de kyuna nda yin ji tani mar dong yo duna dong go dra dong di yigi
ဟောယုကဒါဒံကိုဂုဏီအလုံးဒီမှာဒံကိုဝေပါရပါဟောကြည့်ဒီဒံကိုဝေပါရင်သူရောင်းယကိဒါဒံကိုဒံကိုနံပါတ်ဒံကိုဝေရောင်းစားဝယကိကိုရသည်ယကိဟောမမ္ပတ်ကြည့်ရင်နယကိရှေတဝကြည့်ရင်ပါရင်နယကိဒီဟောဥကျင်ဘောင်ရကြည့်ဒီပါဒီဒံဒီဒုစံကနံကိုဟောကဒါဒံကိုမတ်ဒံကိုဝေ လုံးဒီတော့အတံကိုညှိတိမိတယ်။လုံးဒါတော့ဒီယကိဟောယကဒါတော်ကိုဝန်တော်ကိုမိ။လုံးဒါတော့ကံကယကိဟောယကဒါတော်ကိုဝန်တော်ကိုမိ။ညီရကဒါတော်ဒီယကိဟောယကဒါတော်ကိုဝန်တော်ကိုမိ။ဒါတော်စတဲ့လုံးကဒါတော်ဒီစကေပါရပါ။တန်ကြီးစားကရောညီကယကိဒီယောယကိချပါရနဒီဒီပါဒီယကိဟောရှေတော်ကကြည့်ရနဒီယကိယကိကောင်းကိုရသည်။တကပ်ကပ်ကို
အဲဒါကတော့ငါကမြန်မာယဉ်ကျေးနေတဲ့ကိုယ်စင်နဲ့မှုဆက်ကြည့်ရနေအောင်ယဉ်ကျေးကြတာပြီးပါလေ။ညာယဉ်ကျေးချပါရင်အကျဉ်းတော့ကျူးနေရပါတော့။ညာဘုရားလားသေခေါလာအိုတီခေါလာဒီယာနေနာလာဒေဝရဝေစတာလုံချိပေါ်ရာဒန်ဒီရေရောဒီရေလုံတန်ညာတို့ထိကလေးမှာ။လုံတန်ညာတို့ကိုယ်ရပါတော့။အဲဒီအိုတီဒီရောက်တော့လုံတန်ရောက်ပြီဖဲဖဲတော့ရုပ်ကြီးသမားတော့။တာဒီဂျွန်တန်တော့ကြည်ဟာဒီ ခရုံးကရောင်းနေတဲ့အတိတ်ဒီယကိယာနေတဲ့ကြီးရောင်းနေတော့တနည်းဒါမတ်တော့ဟိုတဲ့ဂျွန်တဲ့ကြီးမတ်တော့ရောင်းကြည့်ကနေရပါရင်ကြီးကြီးနဲ့တနည်းနေရတဲ့ဒီရောင်းတနည်းရောင်းခရရောင်းနေရခရတော့ကိုဝေးရနေခရတော့ရောင်းခရတော့ဒီမကြီးကရစကိုညင်ခန့်တာနေရနညင်ခန့်နေချက်တော့နေတဲ့လမ်းစာတင်မတော်တဲ့ဓမ္မစံကိုကြည့်ရကြခရီမတော်ဤကတင့်ကတိဆက်ရွာမှာရော ဟုတ်ကြည့်တေးတော့တနည်းရောတနည်းရောယုံဝအနည်းရောယုံဝအဒီသာကေယဝရနယ်ရောတော်စီနီးရတပတိတနည်းရောရောတကွန်ပျူတာညဝတဝတိဓမ္မနိနေရောတချူနီးရတံကုနာတနည်းတော့ရောတနည်းရောနီးရတပတိအရင်ကြည့်တနည်းနီးရတပတိတနည်းရောသာရကွန်ပျူတာစမန်တော်ဝတ္တရောနီးအဲဒီကရစကိုတချူရေဒီ ရနီတီဖတ်တော့ရောင်းတီအုံကုအုံကုတောင်ကုညညညအာကုတောင်ကုနီဝဒတောင်ကုနီစံတီနီရီရီရီနီတီတီစံကျောင်းတက်ကြီးကိုပြောစရာညနေဘုရားလာဒီနေရရလာကျောင်းတက်ချေခါလာတန်ဆိုဂိုရင်မစ်ဆေရောရဲစတံဘောချေဝနေဂျင်ဘာဂျင်ဘာနေညင်ကာယမနညင်ကာငွေလာကျောင်းတက်နာလာတဲဝိုင်ချေဝိုင်နာဒီဆရဲ
ရီတတိယဘုရင်တကကာရဆောင်ယူရရင်ရှုပ်သဝုတန်တဲ့နနိထိုးရူးဒီမှာတော့ဆောင်ကြပါမှာတော့ရှုပ်သဝုဆောင်ပြပါမှာတော့အဲတကွန်တော်ကိုကြည့်ညင်ကန်ငါသိကွန်ဘုကုတ်တေယောကုတ်ကြည့်ညင်ကန်ညောင်းဆက်ကရောင်းနေတဲ့ညင်ခကြည့်ညင်ကန်ညရတံကိုယူရရင်ရောင်းမတံကိုယူရရင်တဒီတိတိမကြီးမာနေရောင်းခရောင်းကရောင်းနေတဲ့ဒီတိရောင်းကြည့်တနိရရတံ
ရတဲ့ရတဲ့နာမတော်မတော်ရတဲ့ယူပါမှာတော့ယန်ဘုရားလာဒီယန်နေကိုဆွေးနေခါချွေးပါတုံဒံသူစရင်ဟာတဲ့နံကြောခရံကနိချတက်ကိုရမတော့တန်တဲ့ဝတိသောသူကလေးဆဲချာယူပါမှာတော့တံဘုမခွက်ကြည့်ကြည့်တောင်းတဲ့တင်တဲ့ရင်တင်ဒါနံကြောရောင်းကမခွက်ကြည့်တန်းကြီးဒေါနီကယောမီတော့အနီတီရောင်းရောင်းနေမှာမြွမ်းတော်ကြည့်ကြည့်
Alright,
so one point to begin with. When you're doing this practice, you're actually moving the drop together with the winds. Otherwise, there would not be too much benefit just having the drop remaining in its seat and just having the winds circulating up and down. So when you say that you go through the three phases of arising, entering, and abiding, it will be phases where you're actually moving that particular drop, whether it is the light drop, whether it is the heart drop, whether it is the substance drop, all of those things would have to move. Now, and at all times, as we say, let's take as an example the light drop. You start from the upper opening. So when you say rising, it cannot actually go up. It will go down. And during this phase of rising, you would be associating that with the sound of the syllable hum. When you when it arrives, let's say you want to take it to the heart, right? When it arrives at the area of the heart, you will be doing the entering, which is the om. And then you're going to try and see, can I keep it there or is it going to pop up straight away? Can I keep it at the heart? Can I have this abidance? And if you can, then you would be hearing the resonance of the letter A. Now, we're giving those three syllables, the om, the hum, the om, and the A, but this is the general explanation, because in particular tantras, you might find the advice that say, visualize this particular letter, visualize this particular syllable in this chakra, and so forth. So this is just a general explanation. You might find variations of that. Then I ask you a question, whether there is a specific order. Like, let's say if you start from the top, does it really have, the first stop has to be the throat and the second the heart? And Rinpoche said, more or less, that look, you know, the text does not provide us with so much information. All we know so far is that one just trains through moving the drops up and down. And when I asked, yes, how far can you take it before you bring it up again, Rinpoche said that this is really depends on the capacity of the meditator, right? So according to which area you choose to focus, and according to your capacity to bring the winds and the drop down there and cause it to enter and to cause it to abide, then you can say, I can bring it that far before I have to bring it up into its seat.
Okay.
Now, remember that example we had, that it said that it is like inserting a metal stick inside the bamboo, and as you're doing that, you're actually breaking through the joints, the blocks that we have at the joints of the bamboo. And if you look at this analogy, and if you look at what is happening at the central channel, you will see that we have knots. And the knots at the level of the heart are actually the most difficult to undo. But if you were to start your practice with trying to loosen up the knots, let's say, at the top, at the crown, or at the very bottom, which is the secret place, you would find that these are places which are much easier to bring about some sort of results. And this is the reason why it might be a good idea to start your practice, to start inserting that metal stick. You do it from the top, right? And you try to come closer to the heart. This will be the last place that you can penetrate. The last knots that will be released are those of the heart. They are the most difficult. Nevertheless, through our meditation, we have to visualize that we are also going through the level of the heart and that we're doing the work at the heart as well. Although it is only at the level of being just another focal object, just another visualization, nevertheless, it has some sort of effect. You won't be able to release it as easy as the ones above and below, but still, you have to visualize that you're working at the level of the heart too.
The actual breath in this?
And like when you inhale, thinking of it as Om or something like that, if you do use it.
All right. So in the case of those three life force exertions, do we also use the breath? And do we, for example, combine inhalation with Om and so forth? Yeah. Nima chela de kabla sokzol sum ki kabla naranzo ya utaya ki nyamle yarwa spechesana utambe kabla tambo unangla tenya dine nangla nyarya chilo la pa biba ta rimba sum yores te kabla ya naranzo yige oma hum ki jadan ta ngo yer me pa mi korwes handes yores
ori dadi karse go Azi yang yang orang tu, Yang zong ayana, mukwan jawa ti nang la jiga yuari ma tau, masih merangga wa agi nawi ni tawan jadang, kani tawan dina nang jengke mukwan yang gua maruwa. Ti majina ni, ti shalang ni tawan ti gua, cawe mi sandu turiada, cani pentau gua maruwa. Tuga mukwan kangga cawe, cawe awad dina, cawe mi nang la ronda mukwan zong ya ti, ti cawe mi sandu kangga, depan jawa jab diwa ti, sore tawan ya, dini, sandu tu turia gua di ti imba yendu,
Now, Ernst is saying that when we talk about breathing, now ordinary breathing can either happen through the mouth or through the nose. But in this case, if you see what you're trying to achieve, what you're trying to do is to try to loosen up the knots that you have in the central channel. And what benefit would it be to concentrate or to work with external breathing, with ordinary breathing, either breathing through the mouth or breathing through the nose? Because in this case, you're actually sending the breath, the wind, outside of your body. What you need to do is to concentrate inside the central channel. So in this occasion, the breathing or the moving of the winds is actually moving of the winds inside the central channel. All the focalization, all the focal objects are inside the central channel. Why? Because you're trying to loosen up the knots in the central channel. And breathing externally through the ordinary breath would not have a benefit in that. So the question is, this ordinary or gross breathing stops at this point? Now, Rinpoche says that as we're doing these practices, you can see the text explaining how we have to think that we are bringing the winds from the right and the left channel to come and enter within the central channel for the purpose of loosening those winds. And the text actually describes the focal object and the meditation. They don't really tell us much about the ordinary breathing patterns in this during this time. But Rinpoche says, I would say that you continue with ordinary breath as you're doing it. It goes on.
Jangan lupa untuk berlangganan.
Now, there is another case where we can actually mount certain visualizations and recitation on the breath, the usual breath that happens through the nostrils. But this is in a different context. It is within the context of practicing your approximation retreat on a particular deity. And when you are at the phase of doing the practice of supreme victory activities, what you're doing is you emanating the whole inestimable mansions and all the deities that abide within that. And you visualize, you are reciting the mantra, and as you're doing that, you visualize that, let's say, you are breathing out through your left nostril and you're sending all of this outside for the purpose of purifying completely the environment and establishing it as the inestimable mansion, and also purifying the sentient beings and establishing them as the deities that abide in that. And then you breathe in, you bring all that back, and you bring it back and dissolve it in the indestructible drop at the heart. And then you start a second circle of that particular visualization. So you have the visualization, you have that mountain, the breath, and Rumsha says that in this occasion you can actually train yourself to mount the mantra on the phases of breathing in and out. But this is in the context of approximation retreat, and here we're talking about completion stage where we are trying to concentrate on inside the central channel in order to loosen up the knots. So there are two different contexts. Actually, the practices that we do through approximation, where we go through this phase of generating and sending out a lot of deities and then reabsorbing them back at the indestructible drop of the heart, is said to be an auspicious interdependence, so that we can eventually come to the point of practicing completion stage where we will gather all the winds inside the indestructible drop, right, at the level of the heart. And this is the reason why we not only do we send out the deities, but we have to reabsorb them, we have to bring them back. And Rinpoche was saying, you know, this phase of the practice where you snap the fingers, you send out the deities, and then you bring them back again, snapping the fingers. It is there to remind us, to symbolize, to set an interdependence for us to be able at the completion stage to draw all the winds back into the heart. And here, if you're actually practicing the completion stage, you're just focusing on the central channel and you're going up and down, you're focusing on different places inside the central channel.
Alright, that's 11, that's
we will stop here for tonight.